This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
I think we all experience shame at some point, and I remind myself that shame does not ever come from God. That shame is coming from the enemy. And the spirit of shame would like to grab hold and keep you from coming up for healing prayer. The spirit of
just
shame.
Like people think they need to be they need to be cleaned up before they can come to the altar of God. No. Come dirty.
Come.
You don't catch it.
Bring
you
your mess.
You don't clean a fish and then catch it. You catch the fish and then.
You bring your mess because we're going to love you. And you know, that's what Jesus did, and that's what we hope to do.
And that's what happened to me in a 12-step program. I came fragile, literally shaking from the addiction, and came into these rooms where people accepted me. And I didn't have to say anything. I just was accepted. The most accepting rooms I've ever been in my life, and it was lovely. And from complete and utter strangers. And it's a beautiful thing when that happens. And what you said, come with your mess. I should take notes on your words.
Yes.
I also got inspired, just a little thing here. I want to make sure while I get inspired. I was just thinking, you know, as we move along here, and who knows where we're going to, this all is going to go to the Lord's to morph and take where he wants us to go with our program Journey to Healing. But I was thinking eventually maybe, I don't know if you already have the equipment to record you. Do you call your, when you preach, do you call that a homily? I know they call it that in the Catholic Church. What do you call it, a homily or?
I think most often I call it a message or a sermon.
Okay, yeah. Message or sermon, and you are pretty concise, you know.
Yeah,
he's really
20,
good at that.
25 minutes
max.
Yeah,
you watch Billy Graham on YouTube. I go, listen, you know, you're exalting yourself to be greater than the greatest orator that lived in our century. And that is Billy Graham, Dr. Graham. You look at 27 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, never over a half an hour. And the less you say, the more they remember. But anyway, to get back to what I was thinking there might come a time with what you're saying, that we a specific subject where we have you recorded when you're giving that message, and we can always insert it into our shows. Just think about that for the future. Do you have the equipment set up, or would we have to do that?
Well, I mean, we live stream our services, and so
well,
it
must be pretty good equipment.
It gets recorded.
Well, we'll talk about that. But anyway. So Journey to Healing, and eventually what we'll do is we will also set up a special email account where people could maybe
send in prayer requests.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. If they don't call in, they can send it in.
Or subjects email. They want us to broach.
Right.
What do I do about grieving?
Yeah.
You know, I can remember when I was younger and this girl had hurt my heart, and you consider suicide. Now I understand why teenagers consider suicide. I'm the only one that's ever been like this. Mm-hmm. And somebody comes up, oh, were you waking up shaking and that cold in your belly? Yeah, you had that? And suddenly go, oh, somebody else has been on this iceberg. Right. I'm not alone.
Right.
Yeah.
And that can change a life.
Yeah, and I think that one of the other messages that we want to make sure that we get out is we are by no means, we don't see ourselves as experts in healing ministry. We got into this. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I got into healing ministries. I've been in ministry for 30 years, but really only got serious about healing ministries probably over the last 5 years, 6, 7 years, something like that, where week after week we were having healing service. And so all of a sudden it's like I'm the leader and they're looking to me, like, how do we pray for people for healing? And so really I am by no means an expert, and I've just kind of picked up things along the way from reading the scriptures. I saw certain patterns begin to emerge. And then, so I learn little things here and there. And then Roberta comes in and, you know, she's reading certain books and I'm reading certain books or scriptures. And she brings her 2 cents. And really, it's more than 2 cents, but she brings what she brings. Yeah.
The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Right. And so you realize after a while, it's like, oh, my gosh, the Lord is cobbling together, so to speak, these different people with a heart to see people get whole. And all of a sudden, you kind of look up. It's like, okay, we certainly don't know everything, but we've learned one or two things along the way, and we've seen God move powerfully through it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's amazing. And, of course, you know, I only started attending recently, but I was looking around and I was thinking, you know, these people have to be sold out to the Lord because you don't show up at 11 o'clock. I mean, those are, you know, have a hard enough time getting people to go to church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And here these people on a Thursday are showing up to give, mm-hmm. to pray for others.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And the other thing I will say, and because Roberta should chime in, because in some ways I share with my congregation how lazy I am. I am incredibly lazy, okay? I'm like, if you want a poster child for someone's like, okay, if the Lord could use this guy, he could use me, right? And so you'd think, like, along the way.
I'm glad to hear this because I'm lazy.
But so I went to seminary. I got my Master of Divinity from Alliance Seminary in Nyack, New York. But in a way, I got out of seminary and I was like, to some extent, I was kind of done with books. I just wanted to get into hands-on ministry. And then I found, of course, you can never really get away from learning. You're always reading the scriptures. You're preparing for the next sermon or whatever. But I was never a very voracious reader. That was not something that I absolutely loved. And I was joking in church this past Sunday that I would much prefer that, Lord, just download the information that I need so I don't have to do the hard work of studying.
But right? He does give us an admonition. He says they're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. And recently, if I might punctuate it with this, I saw there was a famous, I don't know who he is, but I know he's really famous because he's an old guy, like almost 90, and they're saying, what would you say to your younger self? There's a famous preacher, reverend, whatever. That's and he said, you probably know who I'm talking about. He said, I would not go to seminary. He said, because you've got these guys, the only time they pick up the Bible is to write the sermon on Sunday. Hit the street. Read your Bible and hit the street. You know?
Interesting. But you know what? When they asked the same question of Billy Graham, you know what he said?
What did he say?
I wish I had gone to seminary. He said. Yeah, so I mean, there's
But you
no
know what that did, though? It kept him feeling maybe a little inferior.
A little humble.
Yeah, because like I'm a high school dropout. I got my eighth grade diploma.
Yeah.
Now, let me punctuate that, because there are some people in the world that can't handle it, and they go, oh, he's not too smart. Well, I have a billionaire friend up on the beach, and he always tells me, well, Rhett, he says, I have an eighth grade diploma too. And he said, imagine what I could have done if I went to ninth grade. So, you know, Steve Jobs didn't finish school. Bob Dylan didn't finish school. There's a whole list of them, folks. So, yes, school's good. I love school, love learning. Went back in my late 60s to go to college, was on the dean's list.
Interesting.
For two semesters. I only took two semesters. But so the point is, forever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. And for me, the truth is, Jesus said, if you say you love the Father whom you have not seen and don't love the brother whom you have seen, ye are a liar and no truth dwelleth in you. So you got to say, oh, Rhett, you said you loved me today. Yeah, I want to love you, Lord. Well, then love Pastor John.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm good. That's a good place to start.
Love Roberta.
But the reason I bring it up to some degree is, so the Lord's used me, someone who's not really an avid, voracious reader, because there's a lot of books out there.
Yeah, but that's good, because it says in the scriptures, the mind of man is enmity with the Spirit of Christ. Yeah. He can't intellectually get to heaven.
But
I'm glad to hear this.
But Roberta, on the other hand,
you might not like me.
Is a voracious reader.
So yes. Yeah, so
is my mom. Five books a week.
You know, I would say about in 2000, maybe 2012, it was brought to my attention by this very prophetic woman that. I had a gift that I wasn't using, and she said to me, you know, you have the gift of healing. And I looked at her like she was crazy. Now, I had been teaching Bible studies since probably in my home and at our church since 1992, I'd say. So teaching was something I was used to. But I looked at her like she had three heads, and I said, really? And She took my hands, and we were on an airplane. It's quite the story, actually.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So the story is that I was in California, and I got on an airplane to fly back to Baltimore. And I had been there for work, and I was really excited because I was on Southwest, and I had A13. And, you know, A13 means you can pick an aisle seat. Pick any seat you want on the airplane. If you're on Southwest, you have the lower number in A's. You can get into any seat you want.
Oh, when you get on, yes.
You pick. So I was all delighted. It was going to be a 5 or 6 hour flight. I had my Bible. I had my books. I was going to do my thing and be in my own little world. And I got on this airplane, and about 5 rows in, this woman pops up and she says, oh, and she was in the aisle. Will you sit here next to me? And she wanted me in the middle seat. And I didn't know how to say no.
Right.
I literally couldn't.
Why did she want you to sit there?
Like, are you crazy?
You're about to find out. So she gets me on the airplane, and we get on the airplane. I'm thinking, oh, wow, I'm sitting in the middle seat. There's a young woman on one side and this very cheerful woman on the other. And she said, I know you believe in Jesus Christ, and he is really your Savior, and you serve him. And I said, wow. How did you know this? She said, do you believe in the gift of prophecy? And I said, I do. She said, so you believe in spiritual gifts and that they are alive right now? And I said,
maybe this lady was an angel.
I said, her name was Shoshana. And I said, yes, I do believe that they're alive and well. And she said, well, I have the gift of prophecy, and I was working in California. I'm headed back to Michigan, and I have to, you know, fly through Baltimore. And as I was getting onto the airplane, she said, sometimes this happens to me. God says, I want you to sit with somebody. I'll let you know. And so when you walked onto the plane, God let me know. The Holy Spirit said,
that's
who I want you to talk to. I have something to tell her. And so she sat down with me, and of course, I'm a little like, really? I don't know if I believe this. Yeah. And she said, I'll know, you know, will you let me pray with you? Will you let me pray over you? And I said, of course. And so she takes my hands, and she said, I don't really know anything yet. And then, I don't know, 2 hours into the flight, she takes my hands, and she says, you have a gift you're not using. You serve God teaching, don't you? And I said, I do. And she said, you have a gift you're not using. You have a gift of healing. And I looked at her. I know my chin must have hit the ground. I was like, really? And she took my hands and put them in her hands, and they got really hot.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Are you or a loved one unable to live alone because of medical reasons? Albert's Manor offers accommodations for seniors or persons with disabilities.